This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're tuned in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me is Lee Ching Wei, Chief Innovation Officer with iMoney. Good morning, Ching, and welcome back to the program.
Morning, Han. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
Very good.
So, Ching, this conversation happens after the tabling of Budget 2019. Now, I know that iMoney has come out with some articles, doing some analysis on Budget 2019. Start us off with some key takeaways from what was announced this past Friday.
Sure. And, you know, a lot of the things I say today is really credit to the iMoney content team. I think they've worked really hard on the announcement night itself, just to try and put together, you know, the summary and the concise form that people can understand. Look, I think it's no surprise to say this is a surprise, you know, announcement to everyone. Everyone probably went into the budget announcement expecting a bloodbath.
Yeah.
What came out was actually pleasantly surprising. So I think to start with the obvious, you know, the government has essentially allocated more spend versus last year. And remember, last year was already, you know, last year's budget was one of the more generous ones, right, for many years. And the fact that there were more allocation this year definitely surprises a lot of people. I think the key theme, if you think about it, from a personal, common consumer perspective, the things that worry or concern you the most, housing, you know, your transportation, your income, these things were taken care of in this budget. And we can get into the different segments, but I think as a high level, more spend, the government hasn't necessarily been limiting the sort of expenditure to where it matters, and the areas that affect people's lives, you know, those got affected.
Right. So broadly speaking, it is the largest ever allocation for a federal budget, you know, exceeding 300 billion ringgit, 314.55 billion
Correct.
To be exact there. Now, while you say that some needs are taken care of, for example, home ownership, but if you dive deeper into some of these sectors, you start to see winners and losers. Hey, it's not just all win-win, right?
Absolutely. We sort of identified a few categories of winners, and I'll start off by the obvious one. The B40 or the low-income segments, right? They definitely were one of the key winners in this budget. So we're talking about, you know, obviously increase in the Bantuan Sara Hidup. For them, there's few subsidy definitely targeted at this segment as well. And I'll talk about transportation later as well. But, you know, increasing minimum wage, a health protection fund created. So a lot of the different goodies that specifically targeted, you know, at the low-income segment, that's definitely one key winner. Another one is first-time home buyers. First-time home buyers, you know, all this while, I think, you know, they obviously got the attention of the government. But I think in this budget, it's very clear the government want to encourage home ownership, right? So lower interest on the loans. I think there was an announcement on you know, a fund that's going to be managed in part by Bank Negara to basically provide loans at a very low interest rate to people who are out looking for their first home.
Right. And also there was that peer-to-peer, P2P financing platform, right? Which
Correct.
Was seemed to be quite innovative as well.
Yes. And you mentioned innovation, right? I think, you know, there are a number of innovative items that were announced in this budget, right? And P2P, clearly, although there's a lot of details that's not yet being revealed, but I think just conceptually, it seems to be a pretty interesting way to encourage home ownership, again, targeted at the first home buyers. You know, the lower stamp duty discounts on unsold property. I think a number of measures, I won't repeat all of them, but definitely the first time home buyer market, you know, will be boosted. The third segment we saw who benefited were the senior citizens. I'm not talking about just the people who are not who are pensioners. So, of course, you've got a one-off payment that's targeted to pensioners, but also the working senior citizens. So the government has, you know, announced a reduction in things like EPF deduction, right? They've given companies incentive, tax incentive to actually obviously offer employment opportunity to senior citizens, and that definitely helps.
Right.
I think the less common or less obvious sectors that also benefited, insurance is one. And we talked about it, you know, before the show, but the government seems to be keen to encourage a lot more participation and take up of life insurance, right? So the stamp duty waiver was one example. The separation of insurance from the EPF within your tax, your personal income tax relief, right? So going from a 6,000 combined allocation for EPF and life insurance to a separate 4,000 and 3,000 respectively, I think that's clearly a move to encourage more people to take up life insurance, right?
Right.
Whether rightly or wrongly, I think, you know, whether everyone, you know, should take up life insurance, I think that's definitely a different question. But clearly there is a signal by the government to want to encourage more life insurance policies.
Yeah, sure. And I'll just weigh in there real quick, you know, because as someone who doesn't have dependents, the appeal for life insurance perhaps not as high as compared to those with dependents. Medical insurance, of course, but life insurance, not so much for me. And so when I saw that announcement made, I was thinking, well, my tax deduction for my EPF contributions has now been reduced from 6,000 ringgit to 4,000 ringgit, right? Is that enough to encourage me to take life insurance? Well, I'll keep that personal opinion to myself then.
Two other sectors, I think, you know, we pointed out in our article that we wrote recently, the local tourism saw a boost. I think I'm not just talking about obviously Pangkor Island being, you know, deemed a tax-free, duty-free zone. That's certainly a surprise. But also the fact that the government has now put a levy on international travels, right? So I think 20 ringgit for ASEAN travels and 40 ringgit for international outside of ASEAN. That will probably encourage a lot more chuti-chuti Malaysia, right?
Yeah.
And then the last one, I think, is the SMEs. The SMEs, obviously, we all know is a pillar of growth for Malaysia. And I can see some very targeted measures, you know, being put in place or being announced to boost this segment. So there is now a loan fund, I think, that's allocated to essentially provide loans to certain qualified SMEs at a reduced interest rates. Corporate income taxes were also reduced for, again, targeted at the SMEs, so certain qualified type companies with a certain level of income and below.
Right, by 1 percentage point, right?
Correct. It, you know, may seem small on surface, but it is still a pretty, you know, a decent boost. And as I mentioned, I think, you know, previously, a number of tax relief that encourages, you know, small companies to then compete with the bigger guys, those certainly were welcoming.
Right. So when it comes to some of these incentives or, you know, goodies, right, for lack of a better term, obviously, like you mentioned earlier, they were aimed at some at-risk groups, B40, senior citizens, right? But then very often in previous budgets, the discussion was, well, what about the M40? Because they're kind of stuck in between. They don't have the kind of wealth that the top 20% has, whereby no matter what policies are announced in the budget, they can weather it. They have enough financial wherewithal to weather it. Obviously, the B40 gets paid a lot more attention. Do you see anything from Budget 2019 that caters or that can help alleviate the rising cost of living for the M40?
I think it's probably not as obvious. I mean, if you go through the list, but there were a few probably measures that affect a larger or broader base of the population, right? So the things like the transportation card, for example, people that obviously take public transport now will start to benefit from this, you know, from this budget. You know, we touch on the life insurance tax relief again. You know, if you have insurance policies, which you know, people with family, for example, right, you can benefit again from the additional boost. I think, to be fair, it's certainly very obvious from this budget that the government is, you know, in some ways, distributing wealth from the people that can afford it to the people that need it. Right. So there's some controversial ones, and I'll talk about the ones that, you know, the people that disadvantage or saw a disadvantage in this budget. But people who are like property investors, right, certainly in a better position to weather, you know, sort of any sort of downturn. And in some ways, you saw that, you know, clearly there's been moved to take away some of the benefits or the wealth towards those that need it. Right. Like the B40s, like the senior citizens. And so, yes, M40, probably a relatively sort of boring budget for them. But in some ways, I can see why some of the things were announced the way it is.
Slim budget for them.
Slim budget, yeah. Correct.
All right. So, Ching, in the first half, you have outlined some of the winners or potential winners from Budget 2019. We got to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll consider who are the losers from Budget 2019. I'm speaking to Lee Ching Wei, Chief Innovation Officer with iMoney. This is Ringgit and Sense. Stay tuned.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us here on Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Tan Chung Han. Still with me in the studio, we've got Lee Ching Wei, Chief Innovation Officer with iMoney. Now, Ching, in the first half, you spoke about the broad overview of Budget 2019, which was just tabled last Friday, some key takeaways and some potential winners. Now, let's consider some potential losers there. What was your analysis from iMoney?
Sure. I think I kind of mentioned in the first half, the way the budget was designed this year was very much to take, in some ways, reallocation of wealth from the people that can afford it towards the ones that are needy, right? I think clearly the winners, are in those that where the government has announced, adverse policies. The casino industry. Right, so I think Monday we saw almost a record drop from Genting's stock price. The casino industry definitely saw a number of measures being put in place to essentially drive more revenue towards the government. Property investors have also seen obviously some policies being put in place that resulted in less profits, if you like, right? So the introduction of, for example, the RPGT, the increase in the RPGT for foreign investors, and again that's very much to divert, I think, some sources of wealth from in some ways the investors or people that are have the capacity to contribute towards the needy. Toll road operators, so the fact that there's a freeze on toll prices, certainly they will be impacted. And again, I think this was in some ways anticipated already. The consumer of imported services, I think that's one sector as well that many were cost pressed. And I'm talking about specifically things that were imported, and this includes the digital tax that was in some ways announced. So there's still a lot of, details that needs to be announced, how it works and who gets, lump. But I think there were already some logos that were, behind our finance minister when he announced it. So things like Spotify, Netflix, the gaming platform, Steam, these definitely will be impacted. And again, I think, question on whether this is the right timing, the right, sort of appropriate move. But I think it's clearly today a part of the economy that's not really considered from a tax system perspective. Travelers, I think in some ways, again, if you think about it, travelers, I meant specifically international travelers, right? Because of the tax levy that's going to be imposed. Again, if you think about from a affordability, probably not a wrong move from the government. And of course, people who like sugary drinks. and I think this is personal opinion is that this is probably appropriate given how the sort of stats you see about Malaysia and obesity and how we are ranked very high on that list. This is certainly a welcoming move.
Now, from your work at iMoney, right, because you study how Malaysians display their financial habits, do you think these measures outlined in Budget 2019 is enough to have the intended change in behaviour, be it the sugary drinks or taking more chuti-chuti Malaysia as opposed to travelling overseas, right? Or even the incentives for that unlimited monthly public transportation pass, right? Are those enough to shift people either towards taking more domestic holidays or using public transportation? Are they enough, you think? Or does it take a lot more to really significantly change Malaysia's financial habits?
It's a really good question, right? We are creatures of habits. And there's always an inertia towards change in everything, right? Including how you spend. But I think whilst a single measure may not necessarily result in a big shift in behaviour, I think this is almost a sum of all parts. If that 20 or 40 ringgit levy on airfare results in just a small percentage choosing to travel domestically, right? Even if that happens, and you couple that with just a small percentage of people who now choose public transport because of the unlimited, you know, sort of travel with, or rather the 100 ringgit unlimited card, I think these things would add up. This is essentially what the government, I think, is trying to achieve. It's not so much affecting a particular segment heavily. I'm not talking about the M40s. I'm talking about, you know, the people that can obviously afford it. But taking that gradual shift, and it's on the people that need it most, that's probably where you see the bigger impact, right? I think there is some policies that's announced that obviously probably will result in a bigger movement. So things like RPGT, you will probably see a slight slowdown in just consideration of whether you want to start to invest in your second or third property, because that will now start to factor into your ROI, right?
Yeah, definitely. 5%, yeah.
And I think, again, you know, it's not big enough that it will cause a lot of concern, but it certainly is sizable.
Right. Yeah. So this show is obviously all about personal finance, Ching. So given all that you have outlined there, some of the winners, some of the losers, how can we best position ourselves to take advantage of the measures announced in Budget 2019?
I'll start with the obvious ones, right? If you're going to buy a car, I think have a think about whether you want to obviously buy one with below 1,005cc, given that you're now, you know, you will stand a chance to obviously benefit from the fuel subsidy. That's it. I think, you know, you want to be careful about the model as well, because luxury cars below 1,005, I think the minister sort of said that won't be covered.
Right.
RPGT and the impact will come in on 1 January 2019, which means if you are holding on to a second or third property that's been more than 5 years, you will start to pay 5% on your capital gains next year. Is there a case for potentially starting to think about, you know, taking action to sell to avoid the tax, right? Yeah. I think that's something definitely you could do today.
And you've got 2 months left.
You've got, well, so slightly less than 2 months.
Yeah.
The life insurance one, which we talked about, again, if you're not insured and you're considering life insurance policies, this is now not a bad time to think about it, given that you now have 3,000 ringgit in tax relief. The one thing that's not obvious is what will not be continued, and the one we picked up was if you are someone below the age of 30, you can still contribute to your PRS and qualify for the matching government contributions. I think it's up to 1,005 ringgit, right?
And PRS expires, again, is a
private retirement scheme. Yeah. Sorry, and this expires on the 31st of December. So, you know, that's certainly something that would benefit you immediately.
Mm. So you have outlined some of the winners, some of the losers, and how we can position ourselves to take advantage of the measures announced in Budget 2019, right? Now, one of the articles that iMoney published also had in the headline the word innovative. So Budget 2019 was seen as innovative, right? Tell us how.
Yeah, so Han, you're absolutely right. I think a lot of people, you know, definitely have termed this budget as an innovative budget, right? I think the announcement of the property crowdfunding scheme, that certainly seems an innovative way to encourage, you know, first-time home buyers into the market. The fact that you only pay a small portion and half the crowd, if you like, fund the remaining. Of course, we still need to see a lot of the details. And
correct.
I know there's some further announcement of, you know, schemes being announced over the last few days.
Yeah, and for now, the crowd is only institutional investors right
correct.
Now, not crowd as in retail investors for
correct.
Now. Yeah,
absolutely. Other things that, you know, certainly caught people by surprise was the allocation to eSport. Right. Mm. Again, you know, this is not something you typically would see from a conventional budget. The AirPod REIT, I think, caught a few people by surprise as well, the way that, you know, the government intends to fund or obviously recoup revenue. There's one thing that I think, you know, not many people picked up as well. The government has announced an app that they will be releasing soon. And I think there's some details that's still to be told. But essentially, crowdsources a price checker, right?
Oh,
so,
wow.
People have been complaining, obviously, about goods increasing in prices, right? Now, there might be a way for you to actually contribute towards
keeping prices in check.
Yes, yeah. In some ways, bringing transparency to price increases, which may actually, you know, result in, you know, a moderate price increase across the board. So I think that was certainly an innovation that I thought was worthy of mentioning as well.
Mm. Ching, before I let you go, what do you think perhaps was missing from this 2019 budget? I mean, granted, again, there are some winners, there are some losers, and you pointed out that it had some innovative elements there. Overall, it didn't surprise to the downside. It was pleasantly surprising. I think you mentioned at the start of the interview. But if there was an ideal budget for 2019,
sure,
what would it be in your mind?
I think one segment that perhaps, you know, saw some you know, allocation, but maybe not enough in my view, is around the whole female participation in workforce. I think there could be a lot more done, and maybe there are plans to obviously roll out a lot more plans to obviously encourage, you know, either female participation or returning mums. But I think the bigger one is this budget has a lot of very short-term and very near-term plans, but not enough, in my view, of things that the government would like to do to encourage, you know, investment and turn Malaysia into a very competitive nation in the next 20 years, right? So the budget is a lot more shorter-term looking, and perhaps not enough longer-term plans. But again, you know, this is the first budget after, you know, the government came into force. So maybe there are potentially more details that we'll see over the coming year.
Yeah, sure. Now, to be fair, under Budget 2019, there is this allocation for childcare facilities at government buildings to hopefully boost female participation in the civil service. I think setting up an additional 50 childcare services in government buildings. That's for 2019 alone. And you're right, you know, we have seen the 11th Malaysia Plan. I think that gives us a more medium-term roadmap up to 2020. And we'll see what Budget 2021 has to offer then. That one we have to wait a few more years.
Yes.
Well, still, great analysis there. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. Again, that was Lee Ching Wei, Chief Innovation Officer at iMoney. You have been listening to Ringgit and Sense. I'm Tan Chung Han. Make sure you stay tuned because we've got the 10 a.m. News Bulletin coming up. And then after that, Enterprise, right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.